God's word this morning, in case you have not read the bulletin, we are having a celebration of life this coming Friday for Dale Mittleider. Dale passed away earlier this year, but we've been waiting till September to have this. Graveside is going to be at Fort Harrison at 1 p.m. on Friday, and at 2 p.m. we'll have service here at the church, finger food and dessert reception following the service in the fellowship hall. It's a good opportunity for us to support Diane and her family as we're helping her deal with the loss of Dale. Dale, by the way, was a Korean War veteran, and so he served our country during the Korean War. We honor that. Everybody doing well this morning? I was with you in service watching from Dallas, Texas last week. And I sure appreciate Joseph sharing out of the book of James. And I look forward to him continuing with that. I was with my mother. She's 90 years old. She sends her love and her greetings to you all. And I appreciate her. She can't hear very well. She can't see hardly at all. And she has a little trouble walking these days. But when we were singing that song, "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength," I thought, she's probably dancing right now. She's listening, I know that. But she just loves the Lord, and that's been her theme scripture. "In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 16:11. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen to that. And so I am glad to be with you back in this country. And we got about 15 drops of rain the other day. Can you say praise the Lord? We need some more rain. We've almost made it. We've almost made it through the fire season, but not quite. Lord, we look to you this morning. Lord, we look to you, Lord, because in your presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength, Lord. And we need your strength. Lord, we need the strength of your church family. Lord, we need a refreshing, Lord, from the presence of the Lord. And we are so thankful, Lord God, that when we open up our hearts to you and we come together, Lord, with humility, and we look to you and we look to your word, God, you minister to us. And so, Lord Jesus, Lord, we ask you to do that today. Ask you to minister to us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be the real thing, we pray. And not just talk the talk, but help us to truly be who you've called us to be, a disciple of Jesus Christ. We love you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Paul told Timothy, he said, "My son, be strong in the Lord, strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And then he said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, because no man who wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier. My son, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier. I don't know if you've read the pastor's pen yet this morning. I waxed eloquent and corny. I'm getting more corny as the days go by. But this is what I said. I said, there's something I love about living out in the country of Montana. And part of the reason I love it, it's not easy. It's not a piece of cake. So we live 8 miles out Austin Road. There's a tire shop in town. They love Austin Road. They said it keeps them in business. And particularly my family, it keeps them in business because it seems like we're having flats week after week after week. And that Austin Road just tears up our vehicles. It just eats them up. And then, you know, we have a little bit of land out there. And between the knapweed and the bug kill, it's basically the epicenter of the bug kill. Between the elk knocking down fences all the time. By the way, they don't show up during hunting season. They're all gone. But, you know, it's just not easy. And then, you know, and then here I'm starting to sound like I'm whining a little bit. Okay, I am whining a little bit. And then comes winter. Amen. That takes it to a whole another level. And God rebuke you snowbirds who go south for the winter. You're supposed to endure hardness like the rest of us. But what I love about Montana is it keeps things real. And, you know, I mean, it was fun being with my mom in Dallas. But I tell you what, I get soft and pudgy real fast down there. It's just like 45 seconds to a grocery store. It's they don't know what a dirt road is down in Texas. You can keep the same car for 50 years and only put 20,000 miles on it. I mean, it's just easy. But here, it's a different story. And so what I love about Montana is it keeps things real. There's no pretense. There's nothing fake or phony about it. It's kind of raw. It's kind of rough. And I know a Christianity should be that way. And even today's message is kind of raw and rough. Because it's about discipleship. And, our Christianity should be real. It's not what we say, but it's what we do. It's not how we talk, it's how we act. It looks rough and ragged, but at least, hopefully, there should be nothing fake or phony about it. Amen. So I've shared this before, but I love leather. Do you like leather? Why? I heard 50 different answers all at once. I'm not. It smells good. Okay, that's one. I need hearing aids. Don't you love that up there? I love it too. It's that elk hide is from the Elkhorn Mountains, by the way. And Lloyd Burton, who's with Jesus today, made that. And I was fussing one Sunday about the Ten Commandments not being taken down from the, you know, official sites, and realized that we didn't have the Ten Commandments here. Lloyd went home and immediately started working on that. And a couple of months later, voila, there it is. I love leather because it endures hardness. I can't stand Italian leather. Does anybody know what Italian leather is? Now, I may be wrong, but I did research it. And what I found, what I read, maybe it was fake news, I don't know. But what I read, Italian leather, all it is ground up leather fragments made into some type of gooey paste. You're nodding, so I must be right. And then it's made some type of gooey paste, and then it's smashed and pressed together, and it is sold as the genuine article. And so it doesn't last long. And I'm afraid that a lot of Christianity that's promoted in the world today, not here in Helena, I think the churches in Helena are great, but there are a few churches out and about that promote an Italian leather Christianity. And, you know, the thing about real Christianity is it's kind of, you know, it can endure hardness as it can endure hardness. And like Montana, that's what I think we should be. We may not be spit and polish. We may not, you know, look the way the world expects us to look, but at least we're the real deal. And that's what Christ wants us to be, is he wants us to be the real deal. And so, a couple of weeks ago, I shared on Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, and I want to read it to you one more time. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 14. Paul said, For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And I love how he starts this off. For this cause. For this cause. You got it up there. So Christians, I believe, and I'm preaching to myself this morning, but Christians need to wake up to the fact that there's a cause. There's a cause for us to live for. And that we're not just waiting for the sweet by and by. We're not waiting to be raptured out of here. But in the meantime, there's a reason you're alive. For this cause, there's a reason for us to live. God's word teaches us that good grief, listen to this. We're the bride of Christ. We're his body. We're his building, and which means together, corporately, we're the most sacred institution on earth. All right, that just went way over our heads, didn't it? We are the most, as a church family, when we come together as a church family, we are the most sacred institution on earth. When we gather together, these are sacred moments where things eternal take place. Eternity. We're talking about eternity here. God ministers when we come together and when we set aside our personal pursuits and we unite as the body of believers to honor the Lord, and that's what we're endeavoring to do. You know, we're not perfect, we're not polished, we're pretty quite the opposite. We're Montanans, amen. But we come together to praise the Lord and to express our hearts to him in prayer, to give ourselves as an offering and to give of our tithes to the Lord, and to share our life with one another, to care for one another. And when we do this, this is the cause. For this cause, it's sacred. Set aside, holy. It's not for self, but it's for Him. And it's for one another. So, you know, when we first come to church, you may have started off this journey, you know, wondering if a church or that church or this church can meet a need, or if it can give you some kind of insight or give you some comfort or help. But as we give ourselves to devotion to the Lord and to grow in discipleship and to be the disciples He's called us to be, the attitude changes. We don't come for ourselves anymore. Amen, Brother John, come on. We don't come for ourselves anymore. We come to honor Him. So we come and we talk about this in the Greenhorn class. It's the purpose we come for coming is upward, inward, and outward. Upward in worship and honoring and adoring the Lord. Inward to care for one another and comfort one another and minister. Edification, exhortation, and comfort is what the so much the more as you see the day approaching is what Hebrews tells us to do. And but then also outward, so that when new people come in, that we know it's difficult to go to a brand new church. We know that because we've done it, right, in the past. And so when folks walk through that door, they come for a reason. And they need something. You know what they need? They need the Lord and they need you. Good preaching, John. So it's upward, inward, and outward. And that's and that, when we come with that attitude, well, it's a game changer. It's important that we protect that mindset when coming together. Because this is sacred. This is eternal. It's unique. It's different than any other times of the week. And accordingly, it determines how much you can both get and give. So it refreshes, it renews us, and revives us as we keep this mindset. And when we have that mindset, then the Bible says every joint will supply. A healthy church where every joint supplies is the most life-giving institution on earth. Where the and just like the song that we just sang, you know, we speak Jesus. We speak Jesus because He's here in our midst, and the possibility and the potential of Him being a game changer in their life. He never changes, and He still does that. Amen to that. And so, because it's where the Spirit of the Lord is and the presence of the Lord is. So but when we come, when it's just another Sunday or another Wednesday, we disconnect. And we lose the ability to hear and feel that God is alive in our life, watching over and working in us and through us. So I think it's so important, and I know this sounds very repetitious, but it needs to be driven home to our spirit that when we come together, we need to come expecting the Lord to give a word fitly spoken to you and through you. Now I am so thankful. That the Holy Spirit intervenes and that He can speak through anybody. And He can speak through me. Wow, what a miracle. And as I was walking to get my notes, I was saying, Lord, help me. And I really felt like the Lord said, I ain't leaving you, John. And I just know good and well that as I share with you, if you have a heart open to the Lord and hungry for the Lord, he can do a miracle. From my mouth into your ears, he can change it to whatever you need to hear. And just like my old buddy who's with the Lord today, he said, I shared this message and they heard another message. And it was just what they needed. That's the presence of the Lord. And he's here this morning to do the same thing in our hearts and our lives. But we need to be cognizant that he's wanting to speak to us and expecting for him to say something to us. And that we need to be cognizant that he wants to say something through you to one another. And I've told you this gazillions of times, but I was ready to quit a church at West Irwin Street Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas when I was 16 years old because I got offended at something. Imagine that, a 16-year-old getting offended at something. And I was going to walk out that door. I had decided in my spirit and my heart I was never going to darken a church door. And a guy in the church who never, ever talked, it didn't seem like to me, was very quiet. He stopped me as I was sneaking out the side door, and he got in my way. And I said, excuse me. I put on a greasy, fake smile and tried to step around him, and he stepped in front of me again. And I said, excuse me. And a greasy, fake smile, this time an irritated, fake smile. And then I stepped around, and he stepped in front of me again, the cotton picker. And I looked at him, I just lost it. I said, what? And he said, I have a word for you. This was a Baptist church. They don't say things like that. He said, I have a word for you. I said, what is it? He said, he who began a good work in you will perform it till the day of Christ. He said, don't sweat this small stuff. And swoosh, it took me out at the knees. I walked past, hopefully he didn't see the tears streaming down my face. And I went home and I said, Lord, forgive me. We're just people. We can get offended easy. Lord, help us to keep it all about you. Amen to that. So when we come, when we realize that God can speak through you, and that's what the body is all about. That's why I love our protracted times of fellowship, because I've ministry's taken place. People say, well, you know, if this was a really spirit-filled church, there'd be words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and prophetic words. I think there are every Sunday. And I think they come through you. And I think they come through you when you're expecting the Lord to speak through you and expecting the Lord to speak to you. Amen. Good preaching so far, huh? There's a cause. There's a cause. There's a reason to be a disciple. 49 times in the New Testament, there is a cause. The reason, the cause, Paul and his team did not cease to pray for these Colossians was they too were new believers that needed to grow in the Lord. And they needed to learn to live for a cause greater than themselves. So Paul and his evangelistic team took on the burden that these new believers would grow in Christ, that they would become great disciples and be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that there is a reason, a cause to live for a purpose for their life, that their life wasn't just to be wasted. It wasn't just a ticket to heaven, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. So Paul was encouraging these new believers of Colossae to be disciples, to be a follower, a learner, a servant, one who prioritizes the word of Christ above their own will or opinion or plans. It was a way of life. It wasn't a Sunday ritual. And people don't automatically become disciples. You become a disciple with intent. with purpose of heart to commit to this high calling of God in Christ Jesus. People need a cause to live for. Could you agree with that? And I think that's probably what's wrong with our generation is they don't know the Lord. And because they don't know the Lord, they don't have any purpose in life. So they, you know, take up the great horned owl or something stupid like that. You know, take on some kind of crazy cause. But God has this great cause for us to live for. And imagine what could happen if all Christians took up the cause for which they were born to. Imagine the change that we could bring into our nation, bring into the world. Jesus came for a cause. He said, "My soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." But he said, "But for this cause came I into this hour. To this end I was born," he told Pilate, "and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." And we're to live for the same cause, this high calling of God. Paul said, as a prisoner, he said to the Jews in Rome, he said, "For this cause, therefore, I have called you to see and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." He said in 2 Corinthians, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For this cause, we faint not. For this cause, we endure hardness. For this cause, though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far greater and eternal weight of glory." Ephesians 2, verse 18 says, "For through him we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore we're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. And we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple, in whom you are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. For this cause, I, Paul, am the prisoner of Jesus Christ." Woo! Ooh, I got Papa in me there a little bit. He's safe and sound, by the way, back in San Antonio, Houston, and enjoying himself. Thank you for supporting him while he was here. For this cause. Can I ask you a question that nobody likes to answer? No? Okay. Is there a difference between a believer and a disciple? Okay, here's a little harder one. Is it really possible to be a believer without being a disciple? I'm not sure. Are you really a believer if you do not believe his words? It's like, it depends on the definition of what is. Are you a believer if you do not believe his words? Are you really a believer if you continue to live in disobedience? Is it possible to even be a Christian without being a disciple? The Lord said, or the Bible says in Romans 9, it says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." We quote that pretty quickly. But if we go back over it one more time, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And then we look at the words of Jesus again, the words in red. And Jesus is the one who said, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things that I say? Why do you even call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Likewise, whosoever be of you that forsakes not all he hath cannot be my disciple. So it's 9:57, there's 3 minutes left. The scriptures that have been on my mind all week long, I'll have to skip a bunch of this. But the scriptures that have been on my mind all week long is actually the whole book of Colossians is like it was written to encourage the readers that if they could just digest the truth that's in this book, they would joyfully choose the opportunity of a lifetime that God's love gives us to choose hardness, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, to be a good disciple. The whole book of Colossians, and I wanted to go in it, but I can't because of time. But we've been talking about discipleship quite a bit. That a real disciple will show compassion. That a real disciple will keep his eyes on Jesus. A real disciple will be a partaker of his divine nature. A real disciple will grow in Christ by adding to our faith virtue and knowledge and self-control and temperance. A real disciple will try to live within the perimeters of the Beatitudes. And will endeavor to keep his life about people, fishers of men. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Again, you know, we're talking about the real deal, leather. And we're not talking about Italian pasty stuff. And what I see, the scriptures that have been on my mind all week long is in Colossians chapter 3, look, he says, if you're risen with Christ, if you've died to yourself and you're risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. Here's another question. What are those things? Think about it. Seek those things that are above. And then he goes on to say in Colossians 3, set your affection on things above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. It kind of reminds you of the words of Jesus where he said, how does it go? He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Here's my problem, here's your problem. We live on this earth. We got to get the hay in. We got to get the firewood in. We got to do this, we got to do that. We need tools to get the job done. We need cars to get down Austin Road. But yet, the Lord says this, seek those things which are above. So it's a balancing act. Would you agree with that? But Lord, and I told you this was going to be raw and rough. But Lord, help us to keep it real. Help us to keep things eternal. Help us to focus on eternity and not the temporal things of this earth. Because that's what a real disciple is. Amen. Seek the things that are above, where Christ sits. Could it be peace? The Prince of Peace, that's above, right? Joy. Because in His presence is fullness of joy. Love. I think those are the things that are eternal that the Lord wants us to seek and pursue, and not the other stuff. What do you think? Lord, we're just struggling believers, Lord, who want to be good disciples. And we pray that You'll help us, Lord, to be in the world but not of the world. And we pray that You will help us, Lord, to not love this world and all that's in the world. Help us to love and seek and put our affections on things that are eternal. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday school here in just a few minutes. I think Max is teaching Sunday school for us.